Aleluia, Aleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light. Whatever you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the rooftops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who after killing has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 small coin? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs on your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Yesterday, as we began our 2-week study of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, started off, blessed be the Lord of our Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Every particular blessing that God could give us, he has in Christ, the greatest blessing of all. And he has chosen us in Christ, as we heard yesterday, to be holy and immaculate in his sight, and he strengthened us to live in that vocation. Today, we continue that passage about how blessed we are to have been chosen by God himself. St. Paul does a little bit of a contrast, which we may not catch at first in this reading if we're just taking the text without the context. He starts with the blessing of the Jews, and then he goes to the blessing of the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, in Christ we were chosen, we meaning Jews, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. So that what? It's going to be the same for Jew and Gentile. So that we might exist for the praise of his glory. We who first hoped in Christ, the Jews were the first to hope in the coming of the Messiah. But their whole existence, not what they'd say, not what they'd do, though that's part of it, but who they were, they exist for the praise of God's glory, so that all the nations might praise God. And then he shifts to the Gentiles. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Jews were ones who had first received the gift of the covenant. But then, what God had done in them was going to be told to others. And when Christ came, the Gentiles too would hear that word of truth in Christ Jesus. The good news of salvation, what had been foretold through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, was now coming true. The revelation to the Gentiles was now going to be open to everybody else. They'd be able to hear the truth that would set them free. They would be able to embrace the gospel that comes from the outstretched, scarred hand of the Savior. And that would lead to something. They would be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit as the first installment of an inheritance toward redemption as God's possession. That the Holy Spirit has been sent more or less as the down payment of what God wants to fulfill if only we receive that extraordinary divine investment and allow the Holy Spirit to grow. And all of this, St. Paul says, was to the praise of his glory. That even that separation between Jew and Gentiles, initially, the stages of salvation history, was so that God would be able more greatly to be glorified. Blessed are the people God has chosen to be his own. He chose first the Jews, and the Jews were blessed, but then he chose all of us in Christ, and has blessed us even more. God's particular care for us in salvation history is revealed by Christ at the end of today's gospel. Jesus, as we know, over the last several days, has been criticizing the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, that say one thing and do lots of religious practices on the outside, but on the inside they were hating people and even plotting to kill the miraculous, wonder-working claimant to be the Messiah. So he said, beware of it, it can grow, just like leaven can increase dough. So that type of hypocrisy can metastasize like a cancer. Beware of it. And then he gives several things that we should do rather than allow that Pharisaical leaven to grow within us. But at the very end, he wants to give us the confidence to be able to trust in everything that he said. So he said, are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? It used to cost one coin for two sparrows. If you paid two coins, you were supposed to get four sparrows. The fact that Jesus mentions a fifth here is to just throw it in because it was so cheap and valueless. So something that's worthless, that fifth sparrow, Jesus is going to say, is actually loved by God. Not five sparrows sold for two coins, yet not one of them has escaped God's notice. And you are worth more than many sparrows. In fact, all the sparrows of the world. And in one of the most inspiring passages of sacred scripture for me, Jesus says, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Every morning when I was in seminary at Mount St. Mary's, which was the time every day I'd look at my pillow and there were more first-class relics being left. I knew. I mean, I grew up as a blonde boy, which meant I had 140,000 follicles of hair. Redheads, 90,000. Brunettes, about 110,000, 115,000. God had numbered every single one. That's the particular care, that's the particular blessing he has for those he's chosen to be his own. And so Jesus, with that confidence in God's particular love, that he knows us down to the hair that we would have lost today, he says, don't be like the Pharisees who try to hide their evil thoughts within, because there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed. Nothing secret that will not be known. Everything that's going on the inside, the good and the bad, will come to the surface. Jesus wants to purify the heart. That's why he came in the Sermon on the Mount and he said, heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, don't lust. Heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say, love your enemy. You've heard that it was said, shall not kill, but I tell you not hate. He's trying to transform us from the inside out. That's the leaven of the Holy Spirit with which we have been sealed for the day of redemption. He wants us to say yes when we mean yes and no when we mean no, and to be transparent. He says, whatever you've said in the darkness will be heard in the light. Whatever you've whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed in the housetop. So don't live a double life. Live in the light. Speak plainly as you have received plainly. And then the greatest of them all said, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. I'll show you whom you shall fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. The greatest tool in the devil's arsenal, the greatest tool in tyrants' arsenals, is fear. And the greatest fear is generally death. If we're not afraid to die, then we're generally not afraid to suffer. And for us to truly live as Christians, we basically already have to be dead so that the devil can't find our 30 pieces of silver. And our fear of pain, our fear of suffering, our fear of death, in one way or the other, is what's always played upon. So Jesus is saying, don't let the Pharisees intimidate you in this way. They're plotting to kill me, and I'm going to boldly go forward. Don't fear the Pharisees. They'll only be able to kill your body. Don't fear the Roman procurator. Don't fear people in this world. Fear God. Focus on God. Not that Jesus is trying to encourage us to be afraid of God, but he's saying there's someone to whom you should be paying so much greater attention, and he has the power to raise you from the dead. Just as he has the power to send your soul forever in Gehenna, he has the power to protect every follicle on your head, which is why in another part of sacred scripture, Jesus says every hair on your head has been numbered, and so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And this is going to dovetail tomorrow in which he says, acknowledge me before others. Acknowledge God. Live in the light. Don't be afraid to say it publicly. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Chosen to be his own for the praise of the glory of the Father in the middle of the world. By our just being who we really are, confident and courageous, because we know we're in the Father's hand, who even if he allows the body to go corrupt, will bring our soul toward eternal incorruption, and the body will be restored. Today we celebrate a saint who lived what the gospel proclaims today. Saint Callistus was a slave in the Roman Empire. It's a tremendous story, should really be made into an epic movie, because it shows how God exalts the lowly and the humble. But even living as a slave, it could get worse. So he was a slave whom his master, who was very rich, had put in charge of running a bank. And many of the other Christians, because they knew Callistus was one of them, were depositing their money in the bank. He made a stupid financial decision, lost all the fellow Christians' money, and he was totally ashamed. And so he escaped. He ran away. He couldn't deal with it. Eventually he was caught. Eventually he was made a slave again. He was released in order to try to raise as much money to be able to pay back what had been squandered. But then, a little bit later, God was merciful to him and he was emancipated. And Pope Saint Zephyrinus saw him, recognized he had organizational abilities, and put him in charge of the what we now would call the catacombs down by the Via Appia on the southern side of Rome. And he was an able administrator there, uniting and organizing that underground burial ground awaiting the resurrection of the dead. He was more than just a capable administrator, though. Was the one who was evangelizing all the Christians who were coming there to recognize that as they were planting their loved ones' bodies in those loculi, they were planting them as seeds awaiting the eternal springtime. That what they were planting, as Saint Paul would say in his 15th chapter, his first letter to the Corinthians, as a corruptible seed would be raised immortal. You'll hear an echo of that in the opening prayer today. Because of his organizational ability, after Pope St. Zephyrinus died, they elected this slave pope. He was ordained a priest. He was ordained a bishop. Zephyrinus had ordained him as a deacon. And he became a pope, and he was much opposed by St. Hippolytus, who made the life miserable for both Callistus and then Poncian, because Hippolytus thought that he was the most deserving guy to be a pope, and he was accusing Callistus of everything under the sun, this extraordinarily educated person who should have been the chosen one, had to obey the ex-slave. But Callistus bore it. And he bore it all the way, took that heat all the way until he himself was martyred. He was not afraid to suffer the calumny of Hippolytus and others. He was not afraid to lead, because he was already dead to himself, so that Christ was truly living in his vicar. At the beginning of Mass today, we prayed through his intercession that we might be liberated from the path of corruption, path of death, the path of fear, so that we might seize the incorruptible inheritance that we have been promised because we have been chosen in the Lord. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, let us ask the Lord, whom we're about to receive within, to help us live today for the praise of his Father's glory, so that the love we're about to receive will be consequential and others will see our deeds of love and glorify our Father in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.